You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Yes, I was wrong. I have never been so happy to be wrong. Flames toppled Jets in four, and we are on to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hey, Flames fans, time for another edition of Flames Unfiltered, episode 67, recording it on August 9th, 2020, the heat of the summer, and we are in the heat of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that sounds so crazy to say. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and yeah, Flames win. We knock off the Jets. I did not think we could do it. I'm not knocking the team by saying that. I think the Jets are a really, really, really good hockey team, and the Flames get by them in four games to top it all off, and three of the four games are just picture-perfect, strong Flames performances. Couldn't be any better. I was happy to be wrong on my prediction. I was along with a lot of other people, even Flames people, that had the Jets in four. And yeah, never been so happy. This week was a busy week, not just with Flames hockey. I was on a family vacation. Yes, I know, wrong timing. But you know what? With this COVID stuff, we scheduled it. Who would ever think we'd be playing qualifier hockey in the first week of August? I thought I was safe booking it. Guess what? Not so much. So I end up watching all the hockey games from my iPad in the middle of the Black Hills. And you know what? Watch the Flames knock out the Winnipeg Jets late at night, sitting on top of a mountain by myself with my iPad in the dark. And it was so relaxing and so beautiful and so fun to see that. The Flames win and have that experience. So back from my family vacation today, and yeah, a good time with the kids and the wife, and everything was great, and it's good to be back, and I'm so happy to be back in the studio and in my office, and ready for a big week of first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Calgary Flames hockey. So yeah, does it get any better than that? Well, on this show, we got a huge Flames victory episode. We're going to start with a quick recap of games 2 through 4, and then we'll jump into an interview with Brendan Farrell from Grit 60 Podcast. He covers the Winnipeg Jets for the Hockey Podcast Network, and then we'll roll on, and as we talk to him, we'll get his perspective, the ins and outs of the series, and get a Jets perspective on how they feel coming out of a very tough series, and a series that sends them home. Then Audie James joins the show. He's a regular guest on the show, and probably my favorite person to talk Flames hockey with. Audie and I will break down everything that happened in the Flames-Jets, and then we'll look ahead to our first round matchup with the Dallas Stars, which Audie and I found out that we were playing the Dallas Stars as we were recording the interview. A lot of fun. Great listen. That's coming up later in the show. And then we will roll into some basic Flames news, a Facebook poll, and we'll wrap with a breakdown of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a more than jam-packed episode of Flames Unfiltered. Check us out on the Hockey Podcast Network and flamesunfiltered.com.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right, Flames fans, we are on to round two. Let's take a very, very abbreviated look at how we got there. We talked about game one in the last episode, so we'll roll right into game two, and that took place
Monday afternoon. And yeah, Flames fans, not a game that I really wanted to write home about. I was disappointed, especially after the Flames' intensity and how they looked on Saturday night. I was so pumped coming into Monday's game, and the Flames kind of laid an egg. They did outshoot Winnipeg 30-26. Winnipeg scored one goal in each period. Calgary two in the second. So we went into the third period tied up. Nikolaj Ehlers with a great tip-in goal at the 10:24 mark. He wins it for the Jets. Goals from the Flames are from Lindholm, Bennett. I thought Talbot had a really, really, really good game again, but the Flames fall short in that one. And that evens the series up at one game apiece. Well, it wasn't a lot of time to think about it because just the next day, late Tuesday afternoon, the Flames took on the Jets in game three. And this game started out with a goal from Nikolaj Ehlers at the 10:04 mark, a wrist shot. Jets go up 1-0. Lindholm ties it up just seconds later with a power play tip-in goal, and we are tied 1-1 after one. Then the Flames get things rolling at the 5:37 mark. Backlund scores, followed by Monahan. Backlund's an even strength. Monahan on the power play. Flames are up 3-1. Kopp brings it to 3-2 on a power play goal. Tkachuk makes it 4-2. In the third period, the Flames tidy up and add two more as Lucic gets a power play goal about midway through the period. And Johnny Gaudreau adds an empty netter. Flames in a convincing 6-2 win. Then we go to Thursday night in the do-or-die game for the Winnipeg Jets, an elimination game. The Flames, yeah, they haven't won an elimination game since 2015. And, yeah, they go out and get it done with a 4-0 victory over the Winnipeg Jets, outshooting the Jets 34-31. A great, great performance from Cam Talbot. Flames score two in the first. Dubé scores on a wrist shot at the 3:21 mark, gets the Flames rolling right away. This game started with a fight between Nathan Beaulieu and Milan Lucic. We'll talk about that later on in the show and how that changed the tone. But as big of a tone changer as that was, I thought the Sam Bennett goal with 1 second to go in the end of the first period that put the Flames up 2-0 was a big a backbreaker and as big of a clincher as the Lucic goal. Sam Bennett gets his second of the playoffs. That came with just 1 second to go in that first period, and I thought that was just a critical step in clinching this series in just four games. Sean Monahan adds an empty netter. Also, Rasmus Anderson adds an empty netter, and the Flames win the game 4-0. A shutout for the Flames. That's huge for Cam Talbot. And all systems seem to go. And the Flames move on to the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, our friends from Grit for 60, Brendan Farrell, and yeah, glad to have you on the show. I want to get the Winnipeg Jets take on an interesting series, to say the least.
Yeah, obviously, didn't go the way that we planned on it going. You know, all three of us predicted that the Jets would win, and that didn't happen.
No, it didn't, but you know, I don't know. I no point though in this series, like it really not until like maybe 2 minutes to go about 5 minutes to go in game four did I feel like we were safe and not going to game five. I thought throughout the whole series that at no point was it a foregone conclusion that Calgary was going to win this. I thought Winnipeg did a great job in game two, of really shutting down the Flames and combating the game one that I didn't think went so well for Winnipeg. So all marks to them for that. But yeah, what was your level of surprise as this series went on?
To me, I think the weird thing to me was just how I thought the series was just kind of weird from the get-go, with obviously Scheifele going down you know, I'm sure we'll get around to that. And, well, just the sheer number of injuries the Jets had. But also, like, I kind of figured that the Flames would have the edge at 5-on-5, and, you know, but Hellebuck would be enough for them to win a game or two just on goaltending alone. And that didn't really happen. You know, the games at 5-on-5 are pretty even, which is not something the Jets did a lot, you know, during the season. So I guess in that, you know, from that point of view, like, it wasn't that bad. But it's really weird listening to you talk about how, like, you're so unsure about the Flames winning. When, honestly, like, watching Game 4, that was just miserable, just watching that. I'm like, I don't really think the Jets are even going to score one here, let alone two. And it's just,
well, you know,
that game was awful to watch.
Going into Game 4, I wholeheartedly expected Connor Hellebuck to just be unstoppable and steal a game. We didn't see that in this series. I thought Hellebuck was good. Didn't see him steal a game. Nikolaj Ehlers is an amazing hockey player, and he's probably him and Lowry were your best two in my mind. And watching the way Ehlers played in Game 4 early on, I wholeheartedly thought he was going to put some points up that game. I really did.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you brought up Lowry. I mean, and obviously Nick Ehlers, but I thought Adam Lowry was the Jets' best player in that series.
Mm-hmm. He's a big body out there. He's a force.
Especially when they took Eakin off the second line, and all of a sudden, like, that second line with Lowry was a lot better. I wonder why.
Did it surprise you? When I think of Winnipeg, I think of Winnipeg as a very physical hockey team. Were you a little surprised at the physical play of Calgary and how they kind of combated Winnipeg's physical presence with physical presence of their own?
So you guys have Matt Tkachuk and Milan Lucic, so I'm not surprised about any sort of physicality.
Yeah, but Matthew Tkachuk's not the most physical player. I mean, he's not even in our top five, I think, for physical players. I think he's a pain in the ass.
That reputation, but also for, you know, a skilled player, he is still pretty gritty,
would say. Oh, for sure. But I just look at the play of, like, Sam Bennett and the abuse he put on Ehlers and throughout the whole series, and I was surprised at the physicality of the Flames and how they matched up, and I thought we'd see a little bit more pushback from guys like Blake Wheeler and guys like that.
Yeah, it was really weird to me because I gotta stop saying that word, but it seemed to me like Game 2 was a pretty emotional win for the Jets, and they just never got back to that level after that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you thought the same thing on that.
I felt like, you know, everybody, it's funny, you know, and that's why I like talking to you, to get the Jets perspective, and because our emotions from a Flames side and from a Jets side vary so differently as the series went. But I thought coming out of Game 1, Calgary was firing on all cylinders and things were good. And then I thought in Game 2, Winnipeg played an absolutely perfect game to squash everything that Calgary gained in Game 1. I really thought that. And when that game ended in a 3-2 victory for Winnipeg, I thought, well, here we go. We're going to go 5 on this one. This is going to be hard fought. This is going to be no walk in the park. And then, you know, things kind of exploded at the end of Game 3 when Calgary was able to put up quite a few goals. But I didn't think the series was, like, completely dominated by Calgary. I think there was points of the series that were completely dominated by Calgary. But at no point did I feel like it was a walk in the park, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think a lot of what went wrong for Winnipeg was that everything that could have possibly gone wrong went wrong. Like, you know, Scheifele going down, Line A going down, you know, just constant changes throughout the line because they just were running out of bodies to, you know, Connor Hellebuck is handling the puck behind the net to, gosh, not being able to score at all on Cam Talbot. Like, it was just like the perfect storm of just awful, miserable hockey.
Who do you think was the biggest surprise player for each team in this series?
I mean, I'll go with Adam Lowry again. for the Jets. You know, I always thought that Lowry would be a good candidate for a guy who, if you have to move him up the lineup, that he would do well in that. So, but to the extent where, like, I legitimately believe that he was their best player in this series. Like,
I wasn't
expecting that. And for the Jets, I'll go with Cam Talbot. Like, I thought that Calgary at best would get decent goaltending. I didn't think that, you know, I mean, outside of Carey Price, is there a better goaltending performance in the first round than Cam Talbot? I'm not really sure there is.
Probably not. The numbers don't lie. I mean, 9.945 save percentage and a 1.51 goals against average. Yeah, that's probably one of the most dominating playoff performances for as far as a goaltender goes so far.
You know, granted, I mean, the Winnipeg offense wasn't great in this series. You know, I mean, you can't replace Mark Scheifele. Like, there's no way around that. You just can't replace him. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, that really helped. But Cam Talbot was really good. Made a lot of good saves at the right time. You know, kept the Flames in games when he needed them to or when they needed him to. So, that's what I would go with.
I would probably agree. I think Cam Talbot was the best player for the Flames. My most surprising player was, I thought, and this is probably off the board for a lot of people, but I thought Sean Monahan's play in game 3 and 4 surprised me a lot because I thought he was invisible in game 2. So it was fun to see him kind of emerge and be a much more offensive prowess, I guess, out there. And as far as Winnipeg goes, I always knew Adam Lowry was a good player, but he really, really stepped up. And I think if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, you got to be happy to see Nikolaj Ehlers step up like he did, because he kind of threw that team on his back in game 3 and 4, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, this has definitely been the breakout year for Nick Ehlers. And, you know, when you're missing guys like Scheifele and Laine, and Kyle Connor is either invisible or the most snake-bitten player in the league, or a combination of the two. Yeah, the Jets really needed a big performance out of Ehlers, and it really, there were times where I'm just like, he and Lowry are the only ones with an offensive pulse.
Yeah. You know, you look at, you know, let's talk about Kyle Connor. I think Kyle Connor is probably one of the most underrated, as well as Scheifele too, underrated players in the National Hockey League. And would you pick him as your most disappointing player? Because I would have to say that he's the most disappointing Jet in my mind. When Talbot was able to make that miraculous falling backwards save on Kyle Connor in game 1 to save the goal, it just seemed like the wind just went out of the sails. And I fully expected that we were going to be scratching our head on a nightly basis over Kyle Connor, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, like, I agree with you. I mean, if you looked at Kyle Connor's defensive numbers this year, like, they are miserable. So all of his value comes from doing things well offensively. Well, remove Scheifele, and then, you know, he's already not getting as much service as he usually would, and then, you know, if he's not scoring and he's still getting up a lot at the other end, you know, that's a big minus there.
Yeah, I was just really shocked that that he disappeared so much. That surprised me. How big, this is probably a bad question, but how big of a difference do the injuries make in this series?
I think a big one.
Does it change the winner? I guess let's go to that. And we'll never know. We will never know. And I thought about this series a lot. I'm like, well, would we have won this series without? Because I predicted us not to win. But you just never know. But I was definitely impressed with Calgary's play. And that being said, you know, maybe this still would have been in favor of the Flames. But I'm just, I want to get from a Jets perspective on how devastating the loss of Scheifele and or Laine. I think that one's being lost a lot because Laine is such a power play threat. And not having that on your power play did not help you at all.
Yeah, so it's a tough question because, you know, in this grand scheme of things, like, to me, there's only like one person that can really shift who wins or loses a series, and that's the goaltender. But outside of that, like, your number one center is pretty much as close as it's going to get. So I would say, yes, it hurt a lot. The Jets already were not necessarily great at driving offense this year. And then you remove your very offensively gifted number one center, and it gets ugly very quickly. So just for, you know, we talk a lot about analytics on our show. I don't want to go too deep into it, but just looking at expected goals for 60 minutes at 5-on-5, the Jets were second to last. They had the second fewest expected goals per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. And that's with Scheifele during the regular season. So the only team that was worse than them was the Red Wings. So the only team that was worse than the Jets at driving offense during the regular season was the Red Wings. And then you take away Mark Scheifele from that, and it's just awful.
Yeah. You guys are, you're hard on your team, boy.
It's been a kind of a hard year to watch. Like, you get used to watching game after game of just watching Connor Hellebuyck like bail out a bunch of pylons, and it's just.
So where do the Jets go from here? Is this a team that's trending up in your mind? Is this a team that needs a just reboot with a couple different players, plug in a couple things, or is this a team that needs a full rebuild?
It's weird because they're effectively stuck in no man's land. You know, they're kind of similar to where the Minnesota Wild were at,
team's so much better than that.
They are. They're better than where the Wild are and were. But, you know, this year they only have 4 draft picks. So if you're moving picks around to make moves, already kind of handicapped there.
Okay, but look at this, though. You've got Hellebuyck. You've got Laine, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with him. You got Ehlers, you got Scheifele, you got Wheeler, you got Connor. I mean, you've got a ton of talent. Now, yes, your defense is going to need to be addressed and addressed quickly. But I can't imagine that a rebuild is even being talked about in Winnipeg. No, I don't doubt.
I wouldn't think so either. I mean, all the names you mentioned, everybody but Blake Wheeler is under the age of 30. So
this is going to be a good team for a lot of years, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can be a playoff team. Sure. But I think the reality of the situation is that one, you can't count on getting another repeat performance from Hellebuyck that you got this year.
No, you won't.
He did during the regular season was unbelievable, and to expect that, I mean, without Hellebuyck this year, they probably don't make the playoffs.
Probably not.
They probably don't make a 16-team playoff. But at the same time, like, do you really want to move one of Wheeler, Connor, Laine, Scheifele, Ehlers? Not really.
No.
So, and then combine that with the lack of picks that you have for this year and a little bit of next year, it's kind of hard. It's like, what move do you make? Because you need to address that defense.
So do you move a Laine to get a defenseman?
Yeah, I mean, I guess out of those five, like out of the big five, because I don't think anyone's taking on Blake Wheeler's contract. I mean, at that 33, you know, Wheeler's
got. I don't think you'd want to give him up. I think he brings a lot to this team experience.
Well, also, I mean, I was just looking at it as, you know, Laine and Connor are mm-hmm. so young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Wheeler's got another 4 years at 8.25. So you're really diminishing your return on that. So, I mean, I guess out of like those five and thinking about what you get in return for them, like, yeah, I would say Laine is probably the first one to go on that.
Yeah, but probably.
That's just me.
Yeah, probably. It'll be interesting. This year is going to be a whirlwind in the fact that when off season hits, it's not going to be very long. And
the ground running. I mean, we're talking about trades and stuff. I mean, Shevel Dayoff. I mean, I don't know if there's a GM that trades less or less often than Chad Wendell does.
But don't you think that he's got a plan? And I mean, I don't know. I trust his game plan. I just do. I just trust his game plan. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, I expected probably this year to be a little bit better a year for the Jets. But I also didn't expect for their defense to just get completely decimated by things that were completely out of their control last year. So I don't know. I think this just might be a reboot for the team. And as disappointing as this loss is to the Flames, this team will probably pick right back up next year. And we'll actually probably jump ahead of a few teams when you look at a Nashville Predators team, probably on a downswing. Dallas, if they can't put together a push in the playoffs here, probably on a downswing. You know, there's probably a lot of turnover and changing going on in the Central Division, and I don't see Winnipeg dropping down too far.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you think about it this way. I mean, Sheldon Dayoff's been there since 2011, and they've won, what, 2 playoff rounds since he's been there? You know, I think you're starting to run out of time on what the plan is.
Sure. No, I don't argue on that. I think the next 2 years will be very telling years in Winnipeg. As for the Calgary Flames, they roll on into what is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And just short time ago, within the last hour, we found out that we were playing the Dallas Stars in the first round. I am a predictions guy, and I loved getting your guys' predictions before this last series. And I'm going to put you on the spot and try to get a Flames Stars prediction out of you.
Yeah, so the Stars are kind of crazy to me because I was thinking about just the West, and I remember before this, I was like, okay, I know Colorado's going to get, you know, the round-robin games, Vegas is going to be there, and St. Louis is, and I'm like, who's the fourth team? And I actually had to look it up. I was like, oh, Dallas, right? Because to me, like in the West, there's like such a big difference between the top three and the rest of the conference right now. It's an interesting series, but I think I'm going to take Dallas in six. You know, I mean, Dallas is an older team. I kind of worry about that. But I think I'm going to go with Dallas. To me, they're a little deeper, and I think they got a little more talent, but I'll go with them.
All right. Well, it was fun talking Jets Flames in this series, a series that was a good series, a hard-fought series, one of the Flames did come out on top, and I know that is to your disappointment because I've been in your shoes many, many times. This Calgary Flames team hasn't advanced since 2015, so I know the feeling that you guys are going through in Winnipeg this week. I appreciate you coming on the show today and touching base with what happened in the series and getting a Winnipeg Jets take on a series that ended in 4 games. Thanks for coming on, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, our regular guest, Audie James. Good to have you back, and we are talking good news for the Flames today.
We were talking briefly before, and I think you and I are on the same page that we've never been so happy to be wrong in our lives. This is good.
Oh, I was wrong, not just on this series, on a lot of this series. And it's fun to be able to get you back on the show and visit with good news, because we love our Flames, but we are both pretty critical of the team, I would say. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. No, sometimes too critical, but yeah. In this case, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah, it's going to be a good news show today, which is fun. We like those. And
we haven't talked good news with the Flames in a long time, you and I.
No, I mean, we always have a guy we seem to pick on or whatever, but not so much.
I mean, we still can.
Time. Yeah.
We still can.
It's tough, though. You know, that was one of the cool things. Like, after each game, I'd kind of go through the roster and be like, okay, happy with this play or not happy with this play? And, man, I had a couple games where I'm like, man, I can't even find anybody that I'm upset with.
I know. And, you know, there's a couple that kind of stand out to me. But for the most part, everybody was contributing. And this was truly like the definition of a full team effort.
Well, I was just looking at some of the numbers today. And for forwards, every forward except for Derek Ryan scored. everybody else except for Zach Ronaldo and Jankowski, and they split time. Mm-hmm. So of our top, of our 12 forwards that play each game, I mean, 10 of them scored.
Everybody was on the score sheet.
It's crazy.
It's a nice time. I know it's a podcast and the listeners can't see my face, but they can't, like, I can't wipe the grin off my face. I'm almost at a loss for words because I did not see it going anywhere remotely close to this way.
No, I think we both picked, I had Winnipeg in four, and I believe you did also.
I did.
When we talked, and you know, let's look back at the series a little bit. And I know both me and you talked during and after game one, and we were both very impressed. And I thought it was like a picture perfect start to a series for the Flames. I did. I thought that, man, you couldn't script a better start. And then game two, I felt sick to my stomach after game two. Did you?
We were going back and forth, and it just kind of gave me flashbacks of what it was like last year.
And we weren't horrendous in game two, but
no, but we weren't great.
Not at all.
Things did not seem to carry over from the first game, but you know, they did some line shuffling. They filtered, filtered guys in and out, Jankowski and Ronaldo, guys like that. But I'm also impressed with how Jeff Ward managed Monahan and Goudreau and that top line, and how he managed to, especially in game four, kind of work them in other areas and kind of spread the wealth out a little bit. And I found that those three players from that top line were more effective in that kind of a setting. So I'm kind of anxious to see what happens in this next series, if they're going to stick to their guns and run with, you know, the four lines that we're used to, if they're going to shuffle around like they did last in game four, because the first, I can't remember exactly who the first line was, but I believe Monahan was on the ice with Lucic and I can't remember, but
I can't remember either.
That's the first line that ran game four.
Yep.
So I was really impressed with that. Cam Talbot.
Oh boy.
Can we talk about Cam?
Well, let's get right to that.
So this goalie matchup for me was like, you know, it's without a doubt, I think that Connor Hellebuck's going to win the Vezina.
Oh, for sure. I think.
And coming into this series, I wasn't very optimistic about how it was going to be against him and how we were going to match up. And we, you know, last episode I was on, we ran down offense, defense, goaltending, who wins in each category. And it was a clear winner in Winnipeg taking the goaltending from us.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, how the roles reversed.
You know, and I'm not, I mean, Cam Talbot was just flat out amazing, and I'm not ripping Hellebuck. I thought Hellebuck actually was fine. I would not say he was great, but he was fine. I don't pin this on Hellebuck at all. But you know, you look at Cam Talbot, and did Cam Talbot win us a series? I don't know. He was probably our best player, but really didn't. I mean, to our guys, our forwards and our defensemen's credit, he wasn't forced to be amazing.
No.
But he did come up with a couple big saves. I believe it was game one. That save where he fell back on the Kyle Connor, that was a game changer in my mind. Mm-hmm. And he had, you know, a sporadic big moment saves, key moment saves. And that's something that we've struggled with in Calgary since Kiprusoff has been gone, is having that goaltender that makes that key save at the key moment of the game. And Talbot sure did that in all four games.
Oh, 100%. He, like, you know, to go back to what you said, he was the best player of the series. And, you know, obviously the better goaltender ended up not necessarily stealing the show, but making a long-lasting impact. And it's the right move to carry him into this next series and in the first official playoff round. And I got to be honest, barring any absolute, mismatches and total collapses, I don't see David Riddick coming in at all in the next round either.
And not without an injury, which, boy, we do not need that. And maybe if Talbot was struggling or the team was struggling in front of him one game, and we just put, you know, Riddick in just to change the script maybe for a game. But I don't think you see anything other than Cam Talbot moving forward? And how can you when he has a 1.51 goals against average and a 0.945 save percentage? We did not expect that, did we?
No, not. And it's not to, I don't want it to sound like it wasn't expected in the sense that I didn't believe in Cam. Like I said, on our episode that we just recorded prior, well, the last episode I was on, Talbot was my starter.
He was mine too.
I don't think there was any reason of doubt to believe that Talbot would have started game one of the qualifying round. And he did a little more than that. He kind of, you know, stole the show, which is good. But I'm looking forward to this next round, and I'm looking forward to seeing how far he can take us. And like you said before about everybody scoring and being on the score sheet in some capacity, it's like this team is firing at all cylinders. Everything seems to be clicking, and it's something that we didn't see throughout the entire regular season.
You know, and when you look at our forwards, Monahan with 6 points, Lucic, Mascherano with 4, Backlund and Gaudreau and Lindholm and Bennett all with 3, and you know, you look at how those guys played, and I was so impressed after game 2, which I thought Sean Monahan was terrible. I thought he was a disappearing act completely. I thought he was really, really good in game 3 and 4, 4 especially. He was just a force out there. And he's been good in the faceoff circle. He's winning like 57-something% of his faceoffs. And he's been a force. And like you said, it's been nice to see Jeff Ward you know, not dismantle lines, but tweak him in certain moments and then go back and then tweak him when he has to. That's been interesting to watch.
Totally. And do you think that perhaps depending how this playoff series goes, we could see him remove that interim tag? Or do you think we're going to get...
No, I was talking with another friend of mine this morning actually about that, and he was adamant that they should just take the interim tag off right now. And I'm not saying that I don't know where I stand on that right now. I do not think that they should do it right now. I think that would be a distraction. I mean, let's face facts. As much as you're ecstatic and I'm ecstatic and Flames fans are going crazy and man, I wish we could have home games and see the sea of red and everything, but I think it would be completely jumping the gun and acting silly when we've just actually just made the playoffs now. Now the real work begins. And I think Jeff Ward is definitely doing his job now and earning that spot. And I think he'll get it because from what I've heard, the locker room loves him. They want to work for him and they've bought in and that's great. So we'll see where that goes, but I would be shocked if they did it during a series or during the playoffs, wouldn't you?
I'm on the same page for sure. Now's not the time. There's bigger fish to fry in terms of actually competing and, you know, getting through this next round. Like you just said, sure, you've made the playoffs now, but like the real work begins right now. So I don't think they need any further distractions. Things are kind of going well as it is. So why add something like that? Why add any more pressure or anything like that to him by removing that tag? Things are going well, and he's coaching this team well, and this team's performing well under him. So like you said as well, I think that the interim tag will be taken off, and I also don't think that it's going to be happening anytime soon, but I'm looking forward to it. I like the system he runs. This play-in was certainly a good test to him and a good test to everybody else behind the bench as well. And I think they adapted well and overcame it. And, you know, obviously they got the result they wanted.
I'd have to agree with you. I've been, I don't want to say critical of Jeff Ward. I've been standoffish maybe. I didn't think he did a bad job, but there was a few things during the run before the COVID break that I questioned. And I think you do that with every coach, but I was definitely not ready for them to just say here and hand him the keys. So I was waiting to see how we can do in the playoffs and in step one, I'll give him a grade A. So we'll see how that carries on. Now depth scoring, we talked about that a lot already in the show and how important that was. Sam Bennett, what do you think when I say that name?
It puts a smile on my face, and I've been so critical of him in the past. And
I haven't. I've been a Sam Bennett fan.
Yeah, yeah. And now I just like this guy, and I think I said it last time too, but this guy he's built for playoff hockey. He shows up when he's needed. He you know, I'm not going to say he single-handedly stole the show, but he was a force to be reckoned with. And the fact that he was putting the puck in the back of the net too, and generating all these high danger and high traffic scoring chances. I think that it was incredible fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in this next round too, because playoff Sam Bennett is a force to be reckoned with, man.
He is definitely a force. And he had 8 hits on Thursday, and not just little hits, like the hit on Eakins and the hit on Ehlers. Oh man, they were just punishing hits. And yeah, if he can continue that in the next series, no matter what team the Flames face, which that is actually going on right now as we speak, we will be playing. But they're definitely going to have Sam Bennett on their radar to watch him and try to maintain and deal with his physical presence out there. Now, Milan Lucic is a guy that going into the playoffs, touting him as being a big difference maker for the Flames. And I'm not going to lie, Adi, I kind of laughed you off on that one. I thought, I don't know. And in game two, you messaged me and you were kind of retracting those statements going, what is this guy doing? And game three, I thought he was good out there. And then game four, he starts it off with a fight. And when this series is all said and done, he's got a goal and 3 assists. What are your thoughts on Milan Lucic?
Again, another player who's built for the playoffs. I'm going to maybe retract my statement and say that he's going to be the best Flame in the playoffs, but he's certainly not the worst right now.
No.
And like game two aside, if we throw that out the window, I think that we can be totally happy with the 3 games that we won with Milan Lucic in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I think he makes Dylan Dubé a better player. And I think that those two have
chemistry. He makes Sam Bennett a better player too.
Right. And I think that honestly in the locker room, I'm telling you, the guys love him. He's a team first guy, and you know, they say what you want about playoff experience, but this guy has it and he knows when to bring it. So I'm very impressed with how he was. I know the contract is something that people seem to allude to when his name pops up and the amount of money he's making. So thank you, Shirelli, for that one. But no, man, he was incredible. I'm not going to say he was lights out or outstanding, but I think that I was very, very impressed with the play of Milan Lucic.
So how big of a factor do you think the fight to start game four was in the Flames' success and creating emotion?
Well, it sets the tone. And, you know, Luch talked about it after the game too. He said, Beaulieu came up to him and said, hey man, you want to go? And his response was effing rights. Let's do it. So just goes to show you that he's a tone setter, right? Like he sets the tone early. The Flames end up obviously winning this game. And I don't even know what the word is for it, but like tone setting is basically the way I would describe it. Like he sets the tone. He knows it's a big game. And obviously he drops the mitts right off the faceoff, which is typical Milan Lucic. I love to see it. I would be lying to you if I didn't get out of my seat and start cheering. And I was super pumped to see that, but, sets the tone real early, shows them that, you know, they're not here to mess around, and this isn't going to be just a quick vacation for them. So I think that fight set the tone early, and the boys jumped on that real quick too.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I was surprised with the fight to start the game. I was happy with it, but I also started thinking about it later in the evening, and I thought, you know, what has been a problem that the Flames has kind of plagued the Flames for the last 3 years, and that's being ready at the start of a game. And his fight like forced emotion into this team. And I'm not going to say that they weren't going to, you know, we don't know. We don't, without the fight, we don't know where this game goes. But for a team that usually lacks fire out of the gate, this gave them the fire right away. And I thought it was a big factor in this game. And I was shocked that the Winnipeg would even want to poke the bear, because I would not, if I was Paul Maurice, I'd tell my guys, like, let's leave Lucic alone, because if we leave him alone, he'll be a non-factor, I promise. If we poke the bear, we can probably create a problem for ourselves. And I think that's kind of what happened there.
And I think both of those guys had the right mindset. They were both probably just trying to get a tone set right away. It's a big game for both teams, right? Like, obviously, Winnipeg fighting off elimination and the Flames being able to be in an elimination situation. First time since, I believe, 2014 or 15 that they've been in an elimination game where it's them being the eliminators. But yeah, I think both guys had the right mindset and they probably both had the same kind of thoughts in their head. Let's get this thing going early and set the tone. And obviously Lucic, I'm not going to say he fed him, but it was certainly a pretty good fight.
Oh, he could have. And I respect the fact that he let up at the end because he could have jacked him one. And I saw a video of Boyu and it was going to the penalty box. He said thank you to Lucic for not jacking him when he had him down on his knees. But that was a class act, I thought, by Lucic. Is there a Flames player when you look at this series that stands out as one that maybe struggled in some way?
I think for me, it's probably going to be Derek Ryan. And without going to my obvious choice of Jankowski in game one on the penalty kill, I'll allude to Derek Ryan. You know, I've always been very high up on him. I think that he fits his role well. He knows the style of game that he plays, but I feel like he was very underwhelming. Maybe we didn't see enough of him because he didn't eat up a whole lot of minutes. But at the same time, you almost expect, like for me at least, I was expecting the bottom six to be outproducing the top six. I said that to you in our last talk. And Derek Ryan was going to be one of those players that I watched who maybe kind of flies under the radar and maybe performs a little better than we anticipated him to do. But he was very underwhelming. But that's not to say that it hurt the team.
No.
I don't think it hurt them in any way. But I would expect that hopefully in this next series coming up that he takes a step forward and kind of plays a more prominent role.
Yeah, I think, you know, moving him to the fourth line, I guess fourth line per se, but his minutes went down. I would agree with you that he probably was the one guy that struggled a little bit, but in his defense, like he really wasn't put in a position to light any fires or to do anything outstanding. And honestly, if our fourth line goes about business like they have so far, I'm good with them not being on the score sheet as long as we're getting production from the other three. And I don't know. It's crazy because usually when I ask you that question, me and you can rattle off four or five guys, sometimes 10, 12 guys that we're frustrated with. And it's good that we can close out a four-game series and not have too many guys that we're chomping at the bit or are upset about. Now, Johnny Gaudreau, yeah. Me and you are not on the Johnny Gaudreau bus. And I wasn't even going to bring this up, but then I thought, you know, our listeners probably want to know what we thought of Johnny Gaudreau. After some of the things we've said about him. So what's your take on Johnny Gaudreau in the series?
Not incredible, but not bad. I feel like I can say that for a lot of players on this team in this first series. I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he cost us any games. I don't think he cost or gave away too many opportunities for goals. But at the same time, he's still the player that he always was. He maybe just has a little more finish than what we saw before the break or before the pause. I think that his zone entries are still one of his weaker spots. I think that he's too soft on the puck. It doesn't take much to defend. I know that I've said this before, but it doesn't take much to defend this guy. I think he tries to gather up too much speed and forgets about his stick. That's kind of one of those things that I noticed this series where his feet are working a little faster than his stick. And that costs, you know, some turnovers, some potential, easy ways to defend the guy. So I don't think he was bad, and I'm not gonna crap all over him like we have in the past, but I expect better.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I stand.
I thought he was okay. I'm not gonna crap on him either. I thought he was fine. I thought he actually made a couple plays defensively that I was fairly surprised. And I guess that's probably a bad term, but I was fairly surprised and pleasantly surprised. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. One thing that did cross my mind, though. Now, we won this series, and Johnny Gaudreau was okay. Wasn't great, wasn't outstanding. Johnny Gaudreau did not win this series for us. In Calgary, we've been used to Johnny Gaudreau, in the most part, being the guy, especially in the regular season last year, not this shortened year, but the year before when Calgary was the best in the West. Johnny Gaudreau was the leader of the pack, the guy that was winning the games for us, especially obviously in the regular season, not the postseason. But he's used to being that the game on my shoulders kind of guy, and I'm the reason we are where we are. Do you think Johnny Gaudreau is any way could be spiteful that the Flames are doing this without him?
That's a crazy question,
but
it's a good question. I like it though, because it kind of feeds back to my whole comment last episode that I was on, where I talked about it doesn't seem like he wants to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, the scoring is coming from more than just him, and the opportunities are coming from more than just him. If anything, you know, maybe some of the opportunities going the other way have come from him. So I don't know if it's as much spite. I don't want to think that he's that low.
No, I don't either, but I'm just bringing it up. I don't believe that he is. I really don't.
It's a great question. I don't think that it plays too much of a factor. Excuse me, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the back of his head somewhere, Johnny Hockey, who was the face of Calgary, you know, like you said last year when he had 99 points and when he was one of the best players in the West and he was hard to defend and he was, you know, peak Johnny Gaudreau, they're getting this done without him. And I feel like even if you take him out of the equation, this team still wins a series.
Oh, I do too. And I'm gonna bring up an example. In game four, Johnny Gaudreau suffered a minor injury, is what they're calling it, and left the ice. If Sean or not Sean, well, Sean Monahan, I probably would have been upset. Sam Bennis, Elias Lindholm, one of those guys would have went off in that. I would have had the cold sweats immediately. I did not get that feeling with Johnny Gaudreau because I just thought, it quickly went into my mind, hey, let's just plug Austin Zarnik into that spot and let's roll.
Uh-huh.
Is that scary to say?
No, it's. I don't think it's scary to say, but you and I were going back and forth during that when that happened, and we're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Johnny might be hurt.
Yeah.
I think both of us shared that same mindset, and I don't think it's too crazy to think that even with him out of the equation, this team would still be riding the success that they are. And, you know, obviously you don't want to see, or you hope that he doesn't get hurt, or you hope that he's in the lineup in some capacity, because when he's good, he's good.
Oh, for sure.
But if push comes to shove and something happens, I feel like, you know, maybe it's maybe it wouldn't be too much of a battle for the Flames to come back from.
You know, and we shouldn't be crapping on him, because the first goal of the series was scored by Johnny Gaudreau on a play that was actually a pretty good play to rebound from. I don't know if I can't say he muffed the shot, but kind of did, and was able to gather it and get it into the empty net. But that's pretty critical to get that first goal of the series, and hopefully he can continue to kind of find his way as we roll into the next series and be a little bit more of an offensive factor. Jets, they suffered lots of injuries, especially and obviously in game one with Scheifele and Laine going out. How big of a factor do you feel that played in this series?
It's hard to tell, I think, because we didn't even get a huge sample of what could have been out of them, because the injury was so early in the game and he was out for so long. But I feel I'd like to think that they would have been, you know, this maybe would have been a little bit more of a competitive series, not saying that it wasn't already, but with those two guys in the lineup, you can expect competition. You can expect greatness and stuff like that. Mark Scheifele, one of the best in the league at what he does. I think, I think he's one of the more underrated players in the NHL today, but it's hard to foresee what could have happened. So I don't know if I want to speak too much on that, but I do think that having them in the lineup would have obviously been a benefit for them. They would play much better with those guys in the lineup than out. But I feel as though, you know, Talbot still played the way he did. It's still a pretty close series, if you ask me.
You know, I agree with you. I think Mark Scheifele is a huge part of the Winnipeg Jets, but I also think that, this is a National Hockey League, and there's very few teams that are one-man shows. And I think this Jets team is a good hockey team. I really do. And at no point, honestly, the only time I started to feel a little comfortable was when we were up 2-0 with about 6 to go. I was like, okay, I think we got this in the bag. But, I mean, going into game 4, I thought there's a strong possibility we'll be going 5 games in this. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for Connor Hellebuck to have just a lights out performance and one where he was robbing the Flames left and right and turning that momentum in the series back to Winnipeg. And it scared me. I like this Winnipeg Jets team. They're a really fun team to watch. I think their depth on defense that surprised us in the regular season haunted them in the postseason, probably more than the injury to Scheifele and Laine in all reality.
I would agree. And obviously the struggles they had with losing Big Buff, you know, he's in the lineup. I think it's a completely different series too, in terms of physicality and defensive ability. But at the end of the day, I feel like I don't want to dwell too much on what could have been. We're moving on. Things are looking good, and Flames fans can sure be happy with what's to come. And I think that this team is trending in the right direction with players shining in just about every corner. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now let's roll on in and talk a little bit about what's next and how we feel going in to the next series. And in you look at it from a Calgary perspective, no injuries to my knowledge at all. A goaltender that's got to have all the confidence in the world. A defensive core that held up pretty good and actually received a little bit of, I don't want to say criticism, but there was a little bit of worry without Hamonic in the lineup, how Gustafson and Forbert would hold up. And I feel like they passed the test. How about you?
I would agree. I think that they fit their, they did what they had to do. They played the game that basically I expected they would play. They weren't bad. They weren't, you know, they're not top line. They're not top four defensemen. So it's not like we're comparing them to a Victor Hedman. But they played their role almost perfectly, I would say. There were very few times, very seldom, that I would actually say that they made me scared or made me worried with any of the plays that they made. But I think that they did actually a very good job in handling kind of not the obstacles that were thrown at them, but obviously without Hamonic, the test, I guess, that was thrown at them. And I guess that's something that you said is they passed the test. So I would 100% agree with what you said there on them.
So as we roll into next series, all systems go for Calgary. And our opponent is yet to be determined. And as we're recording this right now, St. Louis and Dallas are 1-1 in overtime. I just knew when I woke up this morning, and maybe I'm going to be wrong here because I don't know what's going to happen, but I thought, yeah, shootout's going to determine who we play in the first round, and that could be the case. Now, since we don't know who we're playing, is there a team? I hate this question, but I'm gonna put you on the spot. Is there a team that you would prefer?
I mean, I think I don't know if it's the obvious answer, but I think that Dallas is the right answer. you don't want to go up against that St. Louis team that shocked a whole lot of people last year and ended up bringing home their franchise's first Stanley Cup. But in the same breath, these are both teams that had buys. They maybe weren't playing the players that they, you know, maybe resting guys or minimal minutes for their key players, stuff like that. But I think that honestly, we have the better shot against Dallas than St. Louis. I feel like Jordan Binnington has the ability to steal multiple games with just how good he's been in the last 2 years. And St. Louis is just, they didn't make many roster changes from their Stanley Cup team. What did they lose? Pat Maroon? That's about it, actually. That's all they lost. So it's the same team who won it last year pretty much, and basically the same success as they had to finish off the 2019 season. So I would rather Dallas, if that's your question.
And my answer would be the same. And I also tell myself, you know, careful what you wish for, you know. But just on paper, I think we match up probably better against Dallas than we do St. Louis. Dallas has been having a hard time scoring in this round robin play. It's just, honestly, I'm going to be honest. I'm okay with either one. I'm okay with either one. A couple things. I think that the Blues, it's tough to win 2 years in a row. It's really tough to win 2 years in a row. Can they keep it together? I don't know. I think this Blues team's definitely a more talented team than Dallas is. But you know what? Dallas kind of scares me in the fact that if you look at our past history with Dallas, it seems like we lose to Dallas frequently and struggle against Dallas. So I don't know. I mean, I do want Dallas, but I'm not going to lose sleep tonight if we end up with St. Louis, which, yes, they are in a shootout right now. So I'm not watching it. I don't know what's going on, but we are in a shootout.
We'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
So predictions. Tough to predict when we don't, but I guess let's talk a little bit about predictions for the Flames. Does Talbot continue this success?
Yes, but not at the rate that we saw it in the first round.
I think that would qualifying be round. Impossible.
I think it's pretty well, you know, those numbers that you put out before, that 945, whatever he's posting for his save percentage there, that's, you know, we're going to be playing a better team regardless, I think.
Absolutely.
I think Dallas and St. Louis, obviously both better than Winnipeg, so it's going to be a different, completely different feel than the first round that we just witnessed. I don't think he keeps up at this pace, but that's not to say I don't think he's going to be good. I still think that he's going to be very good, but I don't think it's going to be at the rate that we saw it against Winnipeg.
I would agree. I think it's going to be tough to repeat that performance, but I have all the confidence in the world that Cam Talbot can be a great goalie through this playoff run for us. Offense, we'll roll through that real quick, and we'll talk defense just real quickly. Do we see an uptick in scoring, continue the depth or from our top lines, or do we continue this scoring by committee?
I think it's going to be the committee. I honestly do. I think that I think we'll see a little more of Dubé on the score sheet this next series. I have a feeling he actually, points aside, played a fantastic series, if you ask me. I think that he was very, very fun to watch. Bennett, I feel like, is going to more than just throw his body around in this next round. He's going to find his name on the score sheet as well. But I feel like it's going to be goals by committee. It's not going to be all offense from the top six. We didn't see it in the first round, and I don't think it's going to be something that changes in 3 days or 4 days, whatever it is, going into the second round.
I think if we want to continue our success, we have to continue the committee scoring. Cause I think, just look how much harder that is to defend when we have all lines and all systems go. I mean, that's going to be crazy to see a team defend that. And I love the fact that we have Mangiapane, Backlund, and Tkachuk as a line we can put up against the other team's first line. So I think that, you know, just this group effort that got us so much success in the play-ins has to continue. And as for the defense, I don't know. I mean, is it scary to say that Giordano was our only minus player?
I don't know if that scares me, but it's...
And that's good, isn't it?
It's very good.
That's very good, because, I mean, I still think... And he's received some criticism this year because if he's slowed maybe a tiny bit and he's not doing that Norris trophy season. But who would ever expect that 2 years in a row? And but when we have guys like Brody, I know you're a big Brody fan.
Yeah, I love him.
But I thought he had a really good series. And
I don't think it was bad. And that's
and that's a good news, isn't it?
Say that. Yeah, it hurts me to say it, but it's good to see.
So we'll wrap our interview up with we play the Dallas Stars.
Oh, okay. So I got my wish.
You got your wish. So yeah, Dallas just defeated St. Louis in a shootout, and we get our wish, and the Dallas Stars will be playing the Calgary Flames, and I'm sure we'll get scheduling information later this evening, but I would guess it would probably start Tuesday night. We will end with what you probably hate because you've known for about 4 seconds who we play. A prediction.
Here we go. Oh man. Oh, and this is going to be difficult now because it's a best of seven instead of a best of five.
I know.
So, I think the Flames get it done in six games.
I think the Flames get it done in six games. I'm wondering if me and you should have just picked Dallas because we had good success, so I don't know.
The whole reverse psychology thing, eh?
I like our Flames team now. I think they're doing well, And it gave me quite a few nights of good, fun hockey to watch here this last week. And I'm looking forward to it this week.
I can't wait. It's a good time to be a hockey fan, an even better time to be a Flames fan. So let's get this thing going.
It is. Well, thanks for joining the show again. You are my favorite routine guest, and I hope to have you on the show here in maybe, who knows, hopefully next week or maybe the week after.
Whenever you want, Brad. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, hockey fans. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray. We host the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
We're lifelong hockey fans who talk about the game and the lifestyle. Our guests include professional hockey players.
My rookie party had to wear Speedo, and then we had a checklist of stuff we had to do.
Here we go, Gaber. What do you got to say? And it's kind of like, you know better than that now, boys.
I got dressed for the Bruins. Get a phone call. He's like, dude, we need you over here by the elevator. You got to get downstairs. You got to get dressed right now.
Started playing the like, dun, 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 dun. And I turned it around and it had the Olympic rings and said, we did it.
NHL team hockey reporters.
I actually took the Stanley Cup to this ice bar where they've got now girls around them and I've got a fur coat on.
I wonder who he should have checked over here. And then I looked down at my feet.
Hockey fans.
The entire bar was lined with guys in Kings jerseys. We quickly realized, oh my gosh, this is the dad's trip.
And we bring unique hockey stories to light.
Coming back to England, 24 right. rinks in the entire country. That's where the problem starts with the sport of ice hockey here.
Canadian Blind Hockey Association, those few kids we interviewed, their whole week is built around Sunday at the rink. They're just hockey players.
We don't agree on everything.
Pineapple goes on pizza.
No, it does not.
I think it does.
Well, we do agree that there are many people and places that build the House of Hockey.
New episodes every Tuesday. Come on in to the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Time for a little bit of Calgary Flames news. Jeff Ward, head coach of the Calgary Flames, reported on Saturday that Johnny Gaudreau is fine. He practiced with the team Saturday. He left in the third period of Thursday's game with an apparent arm/rib injury, I'm sure classified as upper body, but we don't even get classifications now at all. Boy, I hate that part of this. I wish we could get a little bit of injury news. But anyways, Johnny Gaudreau seems to be good to go for the series against Dallas, so that's good news, Flames fans. Cam Talbot, 31 save shutout Thursday night. What am I doing here? I got dates all mixed up. This series really threw me off with the dates. But anyways, Thursday night, the big shutout, 31 saves. It's only the second time that a Flames netminder has posted a shutout in a series-clinching game. Big shocker, last one, Mika Kiprusoff, back in Game 6 shutout in the 0-4 conference semifinals. That was a big game also, but Cam Talbot comes through really, really big. It sounds as though the Calgary Flames are moving hotels. Ryan Pike reported on Twitter that Calgary and Arizona, it looks like, are switching hotels from the Sutton Place to the JW Marriott. So I'm not sure why or if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But that is a little bit of Calgary Flames news. Now rolling on to our section of the show we call Listener Question or a Facebook poll. This week we did a Facebook poll. Our good friends at Calgary Flames Fans, a Facebook page that everybody should join. If you're a Flames fan, you need to join this group, Calgary Flames Fans. I pose the question, who was the best Flames player in the Winnipeg series? Now, I listed 7 players, and the results were interesting. 225 people responded in the last 24 hours, and overwhelming favorite, Cam Talbot with 75%, 169 votes, wins it. Second place, Sam Bennett with 31 votes, 14%, following all the way down to third, Matthew Tkachuk with 12 votes, 5%. Milan Lucic had 7 votes for 3%. Sean Monahan, Andrew Mangiapane, 3 votes each, 1% each. And Michael Backlund had 0 votes, which surprised me a little bit, but he was Michael Backlund. He was very solid, very good, some clutch points. And usually when Michael Backlund puts a point on the board, the Flames win. It's funny how that works. Cam Talbot, overwhelming best player for the Flames in that Winnipeg series. And you know what? I have to agree with that. I don't know how anybody could say that Cam Talbot didn't lead the boat in this series, even though, I don't know, I think a complete team effort is the reason why the Flames have punched their ticket for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, it is official, Flames fans. Sunday afternoon, the Dallas Stars beat the St. Louis Blues 2-1 in a shootout, which means that the Calgary Flames will play the Dallas Stars in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, we've played them three times this year. Calgary does lead the season series 2-1. The first one on October 10th, the Flames won in a exciting shootout. I believe Johnny Gaudreau gets the shootout winner in this one. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure. And that was October 10th, 3-2 win for the Flames. On November 13th, the Flames did lose to the Dallas Stars 3-1, but rebounded on the 22nd of December, right before Christmas, with a big 5-1 win over the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars will be the number 3 seed in the Western Conference, Calgary being the number 8 seed. And this will be, well, that's what their original seeds were. So, yeah. This is going to be a good series. This is going to be a back and forth series. And when does it get started, Flames fans? Well, it gets started Tuesday, August 11th at 3:30 Mountain Time. That is game one. I know. Everybody was disappointed. I wanted a prime time that night, but we don't get it. We get 3:30. Game two will go Thursday, August 13th. That'll be an 8:30 Mountain Time start, followed by a back-to-back. Game three, August 14th. That one also 8:30. Both those in prime time, Mountain Time. That is going to be good to see. Game four will take place Sunday, August 16th at 12:30 Mountain. That'll be a Sunday afternoon game, and games five, six, and seven are all times to be determined, but will be game five, Tuesday, August 18th. Game 6, Thursday, August 20th, and Game 7, Saturday, August 22nd. That is a lot of Flames hockey, and that should be a ton of fun. So, next week, we're back on the Hockey Podcast Network. Yes, we are. We are there each and every week, and we are also on flamesunfiltered.com. That'll have all kinds of different Flames news. That is the host site of this podcast. Lots of fun on there. We encourage everybody to go check out flamesunfiltered.com. And next week, boy, we get into the Stanley Cup playoff hockey as we venture into the first round of the playoffs. Let's hope all fans that cheered for us continue and we keep this success going. Let's put a little run together. You know what? Let's really put a run together. Saw a good one on Twitter today. It said, and rumors are flying around that the Oilers have asked to stay in the bubble a few extra weeks. Yeah, they want to hide from the Edmonton public. Yeah, we can joke a little bit. We're on to the next round. Our buddies in Edmonton aren't. Anyways, sit back and enjoy this time. It is Calgary Flames playoff hockey.
We've got a playoff! Yeah, baby!
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.